Can we thank the Lord on this Good Friday? The question is, how can a day marked with sorrow and suffering and blood and death be called good? Because it was the Lord of glory that was nailed upon that cross. And he wasn't murdered. He wasn't killed. He voluntarily gave his life up for the sins of the world. It was the greatest act and demonstration of selfless love this world has ever seen and this world will ever see because of what occurred 2,000 years ago. Not only was history changed, but eternity was changed forever because of what Christ did. He and he alone, because he was God, could grab the hand of God, and because he was man, could grab the hand of man and be that one and only perfect mediator to bring God and man together, to reconcile us back to the Father because of our sinful fallen nature, because of Adam's disobedience. And now the barrier has been removed. All can come and drink freely of the water of life. Christ didn't just die for the Jews. He died for all sinners who would come and repent and humble themselves before that cross. And that's why it's Good Friday. And the power of this moment, you see, Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m. and he hung on that cross for 6 grueling hours. At 3, he gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." His body went limp. He physically, literally physically died. And before sunset, the disciples rushed to get his body and to bury it before Sabbath had started. All a part of God's plan. And then in our services tomorrow night and Sunday, we will be celebrating what happened 3 days later when the stone was rolled away and Christ was raised gloriously from the dead and is alive forevermore. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy week, the culmination of it, Good Friday, and what we are celebrating here as Christ's followers. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for the truth of Good Friday penetrating our hearts deeper this year than perhaps any previous year as we open up ourselves to receive and to express deep gratitude and to receive the love of the cross in our own lives. We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, let's thank the Lord. Can we do that? Well, it's so good seeing each and every one of you, those that may be watching online. We're so thankful that you are part of this special Good Friday service. We had the identical service at noon today, and once again, we're able to have it here this evening at 6. We're glad that you're here. Before you're seated, greet those that are around you and wish them a happy Good Friday. I'm going to preach for a few minutes. I've entitled the message, "The Imprint of the Cross," on this Good Friday. It is our tradition here at Trinity to hold special Good Friday services where we reflect on the power of the cross, the importance of the cross, and for us as Christ followers to be reminded of the powerful symbol of the cross and the theology that's associated with the cross. We'll be concluding with a time of communion. So if you didn't get the communion elements, as we near the end, you can just raise your hand as we begin to talk about them, and one of the ushers will come and hand you the communion elements for yourself. I want to read one verse of Scripture to open up the message out of Luke chapter 23 and verse 26, and here is the word of the Lord. "As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. And the soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus." Let us pray one more time. Lord, as we break the spiritual bread of life, thank you the Holy Spirit will open up the Scriptures to us tonight. We'll have ears to hear and hearts to receive your engrafted word. May it be planted deep in our hearts, produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, as our Lord Jesus proclaimed. It's in his name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Simon of Cyrene is one of my heroes. in the Bible. Simon of Cyrene was an innocent bystander who was, as Luke describes it, seized by the Roman soldiers, and he was forced against his will to carry the cross of Jesus behind him. The only one in history that had this tremendous honor to be able to say that he bore literally the cross of Christ, the cross that only Christ could bear. For this one moment, this man, Simon of Cyrene, seized by the Roman soldiers, carried the cross of Jesus behind him. Now, we don't know specifically why. We know that it had been a long 24-hour period for our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, the moment that he prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass before me, then nevertheless my will, but your will be done." And he sweat great drops of blood. The pressure and the strain and the stress of knowing that the entire sin of the world, past, present, and future, would be placed upon him, that he would have to experience something that it's hard for our minds to conceive. Though he was God in human form, he would experience physical death, not spiritual death, but physical death. And the weight of that was upon him. Then he's betrayed by a close associate. He's brought before the high priest, and he's mocked and ridiculed and spit upon. He's taken before Herod, brought before the high priest again, taken before Pilate, sentenced to death, falsely accused and sentenced to death. He's tormented by the Roman soldiers. He's beaten 40 times, whipped minus one with a cat of nine tails. We know that though he was God, he was human. He hungered. He wept. He was tired at times, so tired that he fell asleep on a boat in the midst of the storm. The disciples had to forcibly wake him up. That's how exhausted he was. He was every bit like human, like all of us in here, with one exception: he was without sin. So we don't know if being dehydrated, without food, the abuse that he had taken, was the weight of the cross at that moment too heavy for Christ? We don't know. That the Roman soldiers seized this man just out of nowhere, just grabbed this man, Simon of Cyrene, his name mentioned in the Bible, which is quite significant, and they forced him to carry Christ's cross behind Jesus down the Via Dolorosa as the people were jeering and shouting and insults at Christ. He was forced to carry the cross. Now, perhaps it was just that the Roman soldiers were in a hurry. They wanted to get this final crucifixion over with, and maybe Jesus wasn't moving fast enough, and so they had this man carry the cross of Christ. And yet, he's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and here in Luke, that this man carried, against his will, he carried the cross of Jesus Christ. Really, we all have a cross to bear in life, don't we? Sometimes that cross is thrust upon us by the world. Sometimes that cross is thrust upon us by the enemy, by the devil himself. Sometimes that cross of suffering, that cross of sorrow, is placed upon us, unfortunately, by a parent, by someone in our life that we were supposed to trust and was supposed to love us. We all have a cross to bear. But when we become followers of Jesus, we are given a new cross. And we can lay down the cross that this world has given us, and we can take up the cross of Christ, and we can do it voluntarily. You see, there's only room for you to carry one cross upon that back of yours, spiritually speaking, and I hope and pray that it is the cross of Christ and not the cross of the enemy. In the time of Jesus, only three people would bear a cross: prisoners, pilgrims, and the Prince of Glory, Jesus himself. And if we carry cross Christ, then cross Christ, the cross of Jesus, will carry us into glory, the power of the cross. The cross speaks of responsibility, reproach, and redemption, the power, the theology behind the greatest symbol of our Christian faith, the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe there are five ways in which the cross affects and impacts our lives, hence the imprint of the cross. You see, after Simon of Cyrene bore that cross and carried that cross, I'm sure his back had splinters on it. I'm sure his back was bruised. Who knows for how long? But there was the evidence that he had bore the cross of Jesus on his back from that moment and from that day. Five things that I want to share with you concerning the imprint of the cross. And the first one is this: it interrupts our plans. When we accept the cross of Christ, The one thing the cross will do is it interrupts our plans, even as it did for Simon of Cyrene. In the verse of scripture that we read, every word in the Bible is there divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Nothing is there by accident. No detail is there by happen chance. And the Bible says in the verse that we read, or the translation that we read, that it just happened that Simon of Cyrene happened to be in Jerusalem, perhaps, we believe, to celebrate Passover, the season, the feast of Passover. So he just happened to be there. We would say, wrong place, wrong time, Simon, right? Of all the people in the crowd, why me? Why was I at this spot, at this place, at this moment, at this time, where that Roman soldier looked in my eyes and grabbed me from the crowd and made me bear the cross of Christ? But friends, we know that there are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. There are no accidents. He wasn't there just by happen chance. For the steps of a good man, you and I must believe, are ordered of the Lord. And Simon of Cyrene, his steps were ordered of the Lord. This is possibly the most symbolic act in all of Scripture, in all of history for that matter. What a heroic act of faith and obedience of this man, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross of Jesus. You don't know much about Simon other than the Bible says that he's from Cyrene. Cyrene is modern-day Libya. So we can assume, make this assumption. We can't verify this specifically in Scripture, but we can make this fair assumption that Simon of Cyrene was dark-skinned. He was from Africa, the northern tip of Africa, Libya. He was an African, Simon of Cyrene. Church history tells us that he more than likely brought the gospel to Africa. Perhaps the blessing that has been upon Africa and at times the curse that has been upon Africa was because of this one man's defiance against the kingdom of darkness by helping to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. It did interrupt his plans. He was not in Jerusalem to be seized by the Roman soldiers to bear the cross of Jesus, yet he finds himself under the weight of that cross walking down the Via Dolorosa. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel chapter 14, verse 27, "And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples." You see right there, we all have a cross to bear. The cross of Christ. The cross of sometimes shame, suffering, and sorrow by bearing the name of Jesus in this fallen world. Being misunderstood by friends and family and co-workers, being perhaps rejected by the world itself. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, it hated me. Don't think that it's strange that the world will hate you because of what you believe and what you practice and who you love and who you serve. We all have a cross to bear. May it be the cross of Christ. And may it be a daily exercise. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, Christ said. Take up your cross daily and follow me. A daily exercise versus a deadly evasion. There are those that evade the cross of Christ. They evade the truth of the gospel, the good news that is offered to all who would come and believe. A deadly evasion. We do it out of delight, not out of dread. Religion has you bear a cross and it's out of dread, but for the child of God, it's out of delight. Now, more than likely, Simon of Cyrene wasn't thrilled to be accosted that way, to be seized by the soldiers and forced to carry this cross. But perhaps, after each individual step he took as he was bearing that cross, following Jesus, his heart changed, his heart softened. Perhaps he had heard of Jesus. And perhaps that was the moment when he accepted Christ himself. The cross of Jesus does five things. The imprint of that cross in our life shows up in five different ways. And the first is, it interrupts our plans. I hope the cross of Jesus has interrupted your plans. I know it interrupted my plans. You all have heard, when I was in high school, my great aspiration in life was to go to Las Vegas, Nevada and work in the casinos and be a pit boss one day and maybe own a casino because we had family members that owned casinos in Las Vegas. And thank God that Jesus came into my life, because the cross interrupted my plans. God had a different plan. The second thing that the imprint of the cross will do in our life is it ignites our passions. It ignites our passions. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 39, one of the criminals hanging beside Jesus scoffed. "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and save us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested. And he said, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong." How did this guy know that? How did one thief look at Jesus and mocked him, and the other thief looked at Jesus and defended him? Same Jesus. We don't really know, but that second thief, maybe he had heard the truth of Christ, had heard the stories of Christ, the miracles of Christ. Maybe he was an eyewitness to the miracles of Christ. Maybe he was a backslidden Jew. Maybe he had once had faith in God, but he had forsaken God. But in that moment, he realized that God had not forsaken him. Because of all the people in the world he could have been crucified next to, he was crucified next to the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. And he recognized that. I'm sure as a thief, he always would take advantage of situations. And thank God he took advantage of this situation. Because it goes on to say, "And then he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" And the seven final statements of Jesus on this earth are recorded in the Gospels, the seven final statements from the cross, one of which is this: "And Jesus replied, 'I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" That gives me goosebumps. I don't know about you. Today you will be with me in paradise. Your last breath here will be your first breath in a holding place called paradise. Wow. One was saved, one was lost. Now, did Jesus really need this thief? That was more than likely on his right. The one on the left, the one on the right, defended him. And did Jesus really need the thief on the right to defend him? No, not really. Does God really need you to defend him? I don't think so. He's fine with it or without it. And yet, Jude said that we are to defend the faith. We're to contend for the faith. Peter said, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you, that we have a responsibility to speak out, to speak up on behalf of Christ, to announce Christ, to adore Christ, and to advance the cause of Christ. Once again, to announce Christ to our generation, to adore Christ publicly, unashamedly, and to advance the cause of Christ. That's what this thief was doing in his last moments, his last hours, his final breaths that he was breathing. I love what John Calvin said. He said, "What kind of a watchdog would I have if I was threatened and the dog didn't bark? Would be of no use." He said, "And what kind of servant of Christ would I be if the truth of God is attacked and I say nothing? I say nothing." The man spoke out. We're talking about the effects of the cross in our life. The imprint of the cross. It should, number one, interrupt our plans. Number two, it should ignite our passions for Christ, to announce him, to adore him, and to advance him. And number three, it should intensify our praise. The imprint of the cross in your life, the imprint of the cross in my life this Good Friday, may we be reminded that it should intensify our praise. In my devotional time, I've been reading in the book of Revelation. A few days ago, I read in chapter 5, and here's a portion of that, beginning in verse 9. "And they sang a new song." I love that. "And they sang a new song." You see, when we come to church and we sing songs, we're warming up for what we're going to do when we get to glory. Singing new songs. Hallelujah. "And they sang a new song with these words: 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it, for you were slaughtered.'" That's what happened 2,000 years ago, friend, on Good Friday. Christ was slaughtered like animals are slaughtered. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he was slaughtered. "And your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. And they will reign on the earth." And then I looked again, And I heard the voices of thousands, no, scratch that, millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang and they sang and they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And come on, let's give him praise right now in the house of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive all power and riches and wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. We're to sing his praises. We're to speak of his graces, and we're to share his promises with others. The imprint of the cross. It interrupts our plans. It ignites our passions. It intensifies our praise. And number four, it indicates our position. It marks you, whose you are. The cross indicates our position. The cross indicated Simon of Cyrene's position. He was behind Jesus. You want to make sure you don't get ahead of God in life. God's not following you, you're following Christ. Simon of Cyrene carried the cross and he followed Jesus. He was behind him, the scripture we read says. He was behind him. We must remain behind Christ, following him, following delicately in his footsteps, for all of his footsteps are filled with his blood. Galatians 6:14 says, let's read this out loud together. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." Oh, come on, let's thank God for that. That's powerful. I am crucified to this world, this world to me, because of the cross of Christ. This powerful symbol, the cross, and what it represents to us as followers of Jesus. Paul said it so profoundly, prophetically, and clearly here in Galatians 6:14. As we follow Christ, he leads the way, and he leads us away from the way of the world. He leads us away from the world's way. How many know, child of God, you're going in the opposite direction of the world, and you're going to be bumping into some people on your way to heaven as they're on their way to hell, and you're to love them as much as you can and tell them they're going in the wrong direction. That's why the world will never understand you. That's why comedians make fun of you. That's why Hollywood blasphemes the name of Jesus, not the name of Buddha, not the name of Muhammad, not the name of Confucius, not the name of any politician. But the name of Jesus is blasphemed time and time again because they know the real threat and they know the real life is only found in Christ. And as we follow Jesus, as Simon of Cyrene followed Jesus from, he was behind him, Christ will lead you away from the ways of the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the goodness of God while we're in this world. God's word does command and admonish us as followers of God to build houses, get married, have children, have a garden, raise a family, enjoy the good things of life. But just know this, you're a tourist here. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. This is not your home. We're looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Come on, somebody. Christ will always lead us away from the world's way. And he'll always help us to look ahead to glory, to look ahead. Everything that God has for you is not behind you. It's ahead of you. Don't be stuck in the past. Forget those things which are behind, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. Keep pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, for the time is short, the hour is late. Christ is soon to return. The imprint of the cross. It interrupts our plans. It ignites our passions. It intensifies our praise. It indicates our position in this world. And finally, as the worship team comes back up, we prepare to partake of the communion elements. Number five, it identifies our power. The cross becomes the source of our power. Source of our power. Is the source of our power. You know, culture is fixated on superheroes. My son Jonathan, his midweek service, biblical literacy, going through the Bible in a year, he's used the example of Marvel and DC and these superheroes. And all superheroes have superpowers. And the highest grossing films today, for whatever reason, are these DC Marvel films. We're fixated, captivated with superheroes and their superpowers. In Zack Snyder's Justice League, there's a scene where the Flash asks Bruce Wayne, "What's your superpower?" And Bruce Wayne says, "Money." I thought, you know, for a lot of people, that's their superpower. Their source of power is money. Nothing wrong with you having money, but everything in the world is wrong with money having you, friend. For so many people, money is their superpower. For others, fame. For others, their beauty. For others, their intelligence. For others, their influence or their fame. And there's nothing wrong with having any of that unless it becomes an idol and a false god in your life. But the source of our power seems counterintuitive. It's found in 2 Corinthians 4:10. And Paul says this, through suffering. Wait a minute, I want a free pass through this experience in life, suffering. But the only way you get to glory is through suffering. If there's no cross, there can be no crown. If there's no burden, there can be no blessing. And true joy is born out of sorrow, Jesus said. So it's through suffering that our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Nobody wants to sign up for seasons of suffering, but friend, seasons of suffering are a part of this fallen world that we live in. Even Jesus had to go through his moments and his time of suffering and sorrow. And so will we, but that's okay. Because somehow, someway, when our heart is right and our attitude is right and our eyes are on Jesus, that suffering becomes your superpower. It becomes your source of power, because when I am weak, then he is strong, Paul said. Come on, let's thank him for that. You have to feel bad for those that don't suffer, but really, there is no such thing as a human being in this planet that doesn't suffer. The rich and the famous, they suffer just like the rest of us. They have a better way of medicating it, you know, for a short time, because they have, you know, unlimited sources of money. But everyone suffers. This world is marked by suffering. Even Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Suffering is a cross we are compelled to bear. It wasn't a day of fun in the sun for Simon of Cyrene as he was carrying that cross for Jesus. For how long, we don't know. And what happened to him after it ended? He was marked for life, one way or the other. He was marked for life. He's the one man in the history of the world, the one man, the only man that could say, I shared in the burden of carrying the cross of Christ, literally speaking. I believe he's in heaven. I can't wait to meet him one day. But maybe this stigma was a part of Simon of Cyrene for the rest of his life. But I can only trust and believe that he wore it as a badge of honor to be considered one of Christ's followers. I hope the same could be said of you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, there may not be a better time than on Good Friday. I guess maybe on Easter, but a better time than now for you to surrender your life to Christ. And if you're here tonight and watching online, and at one time you were a Christian following Jesus, and then life happened, life got in the way, things went awry in your life, and now you're off the path, it's time to come home. And Christ will welcome you, and Christ will receive you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're about to partake of the communion elements. We're going to have a worship song, and I'm going to come back up. And before we partake of communion, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Make things right in your heart between you and Jesus. And then we'll celebrate the sacredness of the communion elements. So hold on to them. If you don't have any and you need some, please raise your hand and usher will come by and give you one. As we are about to partake of the communion elements, the first order of business, is it well with your soul? If you were to die tonight, God forbid, you were standing before the pearly gates of heaven, and you were asked, why should you be allowed into God's eternal kingdom? Do you have an answer? You see, the right answer is because I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I followed him. Whether it was for your entire life, or like the thief that died next to Jesus for only a few hours, that's all it takes. And you will share in the same glory of God's kingdom as the saints of old. Jesus said, unless a man be born again or a woman be born again, they cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You must surrender your life to Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Those of you that are here or watching online and you need to rededicate your life to Christ, you understand this. You've experienced this before. I want you to make this prayer a prayer of rededication. So every head bowed, every eye closed. The rest of the congregation is going to pray this prayer with you, my friend. Christ is knocking on the door of your heart, and I hope that you will hear his voice, open up the door of your heart, and invite Christ into your life. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive your love, your grace, and your forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning this Good Friday for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for this wafer and what it represents, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for us. As the prophet Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So now, Father, we do this in remembrance of Christ our Lord. And as we partake, we do in faith for your healing power to be at work in our bodies, our spirits, and our souls as we partake now. And Lord, thank you for every precious drop of blood that was shed by our Savior upon this sin-cursed planet of ours. Holy blood, the very blood of God shed from the garden to the cross to remove the sins of the world. It represents a new and everlasting covenant, and it speaks of grace and forgiveness and healing and mercy. And we thank you, Lord, we can experience redemption, atonement, the forgiveness of sins because of the shed blood of Christ. And as we partake now, we proclaim his death until he comes again, as the Apostle Paul said, as we drink of this cup together. Let's sing that chorus, can we? One more time. It's good to be reminded this Good Friday how radical God's love is. Some have said how reckless God's love is for you. And he proved it and he demonstrated by sending his son Christ to the earth 2,000 years ago. Now I hope all of us have been reminded the power of the cross, the imprint of the cross, and the impact the cross should have upon our lives each and every day, as daily we take up our cross to follow Christ. If you prayed that prayer to commit or rededicate your life to Christ, we want to hear from you. One of the many reasons why we believe we exist as a church is to come alongside of you and help you continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is a new beginning. We want to celebrate this moment with you. And we want to help identify, you've taken the first step, what's that next step? So we have what's called a connection card in a card holder between the seats right where you're standing. Take that out, fill it out. Take it by guest connections on your way out. We have a Bible for you, some important information that we want to share with you. And we want to meet you. We want to be able to pray for you and be a part of this journey that you started tonight. You can also download the Trinity app or jump online, trinitytoday.com, and you can do it electronically. And we look forward to hearing from you. Go in the peace of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. We look forward to seeing you either tomorrow night at 5, our 8:30 classic service in the chapel, 9:30, or 11:15, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We love you. God bless.